Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Proverbs chapter 22, verses 17 to 21. And if you're a preacher or a teacher, you ever instruct anybody in the words of God, this will be a very helpful set of proverbs for you today. Let's read Proverbs chapter 22, verses 17 to 21. The Bible says, "Bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply thine heart unto my knowledge. For it is a pleasant thing if thou keep them within thee, they shall withal be fitted in thy lips. That thy trust may be in the Lord, I have made known to thee this day, even to thee. Have not I written to thee excellent things in counsels and knowledge, that I might make thee to know the certainty of the words of truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that send unto thee?" You know, that's a tremendous passage of Scripture right there. I was talking to a preacher one time. The Lord used those verses to impress upon him most definitely his need to follow those verses and prepare men for the ministry. Every pastor and teacher of God's words, the pastor of a church, a Sunday school teacher, the teacher of a Bible study, an itinerant preacher, a missionary, an evangelist, whatever, should follow these verses because they explain his relationship to the words of God, and they explain his relationship to the God that wrote the words. The purpose of these verses here is so that he can give the right answer to any person that inquires about the words of God. So let's look now, and let's study these verses out and find out two things that we want to learn from the verses today in a way of outlining our lesson. I mean, our lesson is a student of the Word, okay? So, first of all, we want to see how to study. And then secondly, in our study today, we want to see what to believe. That is, to get the most out of your study, what you ought to believe about what's going on while you are studying and preparing a lesson, for instance. All right, now how to study. First of all, you want to study humbly. Look what he says in verse 17 again. "Bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise." Bow down thine ear. So often in the Bible, humility is pictured by going down, kneeling down, laying down. Here he says, "Bow down thine ear." So humbly, humbly. When I was training for the ministry, the fellow that taught me kept saying, "You've got to approach the Bible with a humble mind and a believing heart." A humble mind and a believing heart. This weekend I was studying over some information, getting ready for another study that I'm going to do on a weekly question, and kind of researching out some material, and I came across an article that a fellow had written. And actually, he's a very good writer, very clear, very easy to understand. So I was reading his material, and in there, he made a statement about salvation, and I was a little curious about the statement that he made. In other words, I wanted to know how he would defend the position that he'd taken. I don't agree with his position. It's not a kind of thing that's going to ruin either one of us in the ministry. It's not that type of an earth-shattering deal, but, you know, just doctrinally don't agree with his position. But he was a real good writer, and so I really was enjoying studying his material. And then I found an article that linked to explain why he believed the way that he did, so I went through and I read it. And it was very interesting, very interesting. Now, when he explained why he believed what he believed about salvation, he had been approached by another preacher that challenged him, And the challenge was all iron sharpening iron. The fellow that wrote the article wrote back and responded, and I looked at all of his material, and it was very interesting. When he was presented with verses from the Bible that indicated his position on salvation might not be right, all he did with those verses is he said, these verses don't necessarily show that I am wrong. He didn't deal with what they said. And the reason I tell you this is that what happened, and you can see it from his writings, what happened is this fella had already made up his mind that he understood this doctrine, and so when he found verses that supported his doctrine, he used those the way that an apologetic preacher would use them to defend his position. And when he found verses that were contrary to his position, he used the same apologetics to defend the position that he had already taken regarding salvation. I don't know, I didn't go into enough detail maybe for you to be able to follow clearly what I was saying, but he had already made up his mind about salvation. Now simply what he was doing was trying to prove that he was right with certain verses and defending that he was right by countering on the other verses. And what happened is that he made the same mistake that any of us is prone to make. He thought he already knew the answer. And so his mind was not humble to the words of God to recognize that there might be something that he had missed. And in fact, there was. There are a number of other verses that he didn't deal with. And frankly, if he had dealt with those, it would be even harder to defend the position that he holds. The point very simply is, when you have already made up your mind that you understand a particular doctrine of the Bible sufficiently, no matter what happens after that, when somebody tries to show you that the doctrine that you hold is either not right or not complete, you're not going to listen to them. And you're not going to listen to the Holy Spirit, and you're not going to listen to God on it. You take a Jehovah's Witness, for instance, who's already made up his mind that he is working to get to the kingdom, and then you show him the simplicity of salvation in Jesus Christ, he's not going to listen to you. And the reason is his mind is not humble to see that salvation is by faith in Jesus Christ simply, and that attempting to work to be one of the 144,000 is impossible for a person in the church age. So humble mind and believing heart, God said, bow down thine ear. So every time you get ready to study the Bible, you have to approach it as a child to be instructed by God in the words of God. The second thing is you need to study attentively, attentively. Look again what he says in verse 17, bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise. You have to hear the words of the wise. You have to be attentive. Every word of God is pure, but so often when I'm teaching a Bible study, I might ask the people to read along in a verse, and then I'll ask them about the verse before we actually go in and expound it, and they'll answer, but they won't answer according to every word that is in the verse. They'll miss some of the little words like if, and, but, not, and oftentimes miss a very clear teaching of the Bible, a very clear doctrine of the Bible, because they didn't see a word that was in the text that really, you know, was the key word, even though it might be very small. And that's because it's hard to hear every word. You really, really have to be attentive to what's being said in the Bible. Careful attention to the words of the Bible, and then very careful attention when you're checking commentaries. A lot of times people like to use commentaries in order to try to, you know, get something more out of the Bible that they're reading, and there's nothing wrong with that, but you have got to be sure that the men that you're reading are wise men. Some are simply wise cracks. Some men are wise according to their education, but they're not wise according to their knowledge of the words of God. Some men are very well recognized for their scholarship, but they have really messed up some of the things in the Bible. So you got to be really, really careful. You got to pay very, very clear attention to everything going on in your study. It is a big mistake, and I might add here, to take a text and then simply run right then to the commentary or to the quarterly or whatever you use for your Bible study and start seeing what men have to say about the verse. Years ago, there was a slave that had been freed, and he was finally free to pastor his own church. He didn't have to have a white man that was on the pulpit with him. He didn't have to have permission of his plantation owner. He just got up his church and started preaching, and his church outgrew all the churches in the area. And so the fellows got together. His name was John Jasper. The fellows in the Ministerial Society got together and invited this pastor to come and talk with them. And they asked him, how is it, without any seminary education, without any training whatsoever, your church is so much larger than our churches? He said, well, it's very simple. When you take a text, you go immediately to find out from the commentaries and from your seminary notes what you're supposed to get out of that particular text. I don't do that. When I take a text in the Bible, I read it, and I read it, and I read it, and I pray over it, and I pray over it, and I pray over it, until I find out what God said, and then I go to my pulpit and preach. He said, the difference between you and me is that you go up and tell them what men had to say about the verse you've studied, and I go up to tell them what God had to say about the verse that I've studied. And the truth of the matter is, your congregation doesn't care what a man had to say about that verse. They want to know what God said, so you got to pay careful attention. The next thing when you study is you have to study earnestly, earnestly. Look what he said again in verse 17. Apply thine heart unto my knowledge. You have to apply your heart unto the knowledge of God's words. You got to put your heart into it. You know, you've seen these things with athletes, and they'll say, oh, he just didn't have his heart in it today. Or you look at your children when they're trying to study their lessons, or when they're trying to do something with their athletics, or they're trying to do something with whatever, their music or whatever they do. There are days that you can see they really have their heart into what they're doing. They're very enthusiastic. They're very earnest. And then at other times, they're not earnest whatsoever. They're lackadaisical, inattentive. They don't care. And you know something? If you have a regular Bible study or a regular Sunday school class or a regular pulpit or a regular audience that you're addressing, there are going to be days when you're just tired. And it is going to be evident to the people that come to hear you if your heart's not in it. And so when you get ready to study, you have got to be earnest. You've got to put your heart into it. You've got to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to fill you so that there is an earnestness there, because you have to allow the words that you're studying to make application in your life first. I know you're trying to get a lesson together for another group of sheep, but if those words don't mean anything to you, they're not going to mean anything to the people you're teaching either. They have to apply to you first. And you have to live by those words. That was the trouble with the Pharisees. The Lord said to the disciples, do what they say, don't do what they do. And that's because they didn't live by the very things that they taught. You have to live by the things that you teach. Your heart has to be in it. Apply, he says, thine heart unto my knowledge. And those words have, have to apply to you. So when you study, you have to study humbly, attentively, earnestly, and then I'm really butchering it with this word here, but unforgettably. Look at verse 18. For it is a pleasant thing if thou keep them within thee. Memorize them. Memorize them. It is a pleasant thing if thou keep them within thee. That's why I said unforgettably. If you memorize them, you won't forget them, see? So I sort of stretched it with the word, but that, you get the point. The point is, if thou keep them within thee, you see, then you've been a good student of the word, unforgettably. That means you've got to memorize key aspects of the study so that you can keep what you have learned within you. And there are ways to do this. Acrostics are one of the best ways. If you don't get too complicated with the acrostic, or if you don't have to use a lot of words in the acrostic that are, you know, really, really stretched, like I'm doing here with the word unforgettably, in order to try to get the point across. Recently, I had a chance to tell you something that I'd learned, back in September. And in that particular deal, it was how to deal with stress in your life. And, you know, the ministry can be pretty stressful, so I kind of latched on to what this guy had to say. And we were in a conference for 3 days, and there was a lot of information that was communicated to us. But he gave us an acrostic on how to deal with stress. And the acrostic was L-E-A-R-N. You have to learn, L-E-A-R-N, how to deal with stress. L, laughter. E, exercise. A, attitude. R, relaxation. N, nutrition. And I'll never forget it. That guy went to work on his material until he found a way to keep from forgetting it, and then he communicated it to us in such a way that we wouldn't forget it. And I'm reminded about that from time to time. Some of you have been to counseling, or maybe you've talked to a friend who's been to some kind of counseling, and they came up with an acrostic there to help you to keep from going into a tailspin emotionally. And the acrostic was HALT, H-A-L-T. Don't make a serious decision or something like that when one of these four things is going on. HALT. Stop you from doing something stupid when you're hungry, angry, lonely, or tired. That's a great acrostic. It's a great rule of thumb. If you've got some of those going on, you're hungry, angry, lonely, or tired, and then you're trying to make a key decision, you're liable to make a really bad decision and have a lot of regret about the decision you made later. Those kind of things are very, very helpful. And so when you study, you want to come up with ways that you will remember it so that other people will remember it. Visual charts are an excellent way. I gave a video one time to a fellow that I was witnessing to, and the video was called The Four Judgments. And in there, the fella that was preaching was doing a chalk talk, and so he had four frames in the artwork that he was doing while he was preaching. And each frame visually depicted one of the four judgments that he was preaching that day. And later on, I asked the fellow if he had had a chance to see the video, and he said, yes, he did. I said, do you remember what it was about? He said, yes, it was about the four judgments. And I said, can you briefly describe each of them? Man, he could describe them very easily. And I thought to myself, what a clever way to help, first of all, the preacher remember, but secondly, also the people that he's teaching to remember what was studied. Another way to make the lesson unforgettable to you and therefore to your hearer is to give a chain of references like the Romans Road that people have used to try to lead souls to the Lord Jesus Christ. Anything like that to make the material so that it'll stick with you. There are a number of lessons that I was taught, a number that I've studied, and I can teach them now from memory because I've memorized them. They're unforgettable now. Okay? The next way to study is not only humbly, attentively, earnestly, and unforgettably, but also repeatedly. Repetition is a great teacher. Look what he says in verse 18 again. For it is a pleasant thing if thou keep them within thee, they shall withal be fitted in thy lips. Fitted in thy lips. That is so that you can handle the material clearly enough that others can get what you've learned and learn from it. Get it down, see? And that's one of the things that happens oftentimes when you're studying your lessons. You don't go over the things enough, with enough repetition, in order to be able to remember what you've learned in order to teach it to somebody else. The words are not fitted in your lips. And you want to get that way. You want to get that way so that you can present the material confidently and clearly. You don't want to wait till the last minute. So often in Sunday school classes, even with pulpits, the men and women will get together right there at the very last minute, the night before or whatever, scramble around to get all this stuff, and then they're fumbling around with notes and fumbling around with thoughts and distractions. What do you think's happening to the people you're trying to teach? They're going to have a very hard time following that because the words are not known well enough to you to have them fitted in your lips. Now, that's a great way to study. Keep those things in memory, okay? Humbly, attentively, earnestly, unforgettably, and repeatedly. Go over and over again until you've got it down where you can speak it clearly. I remember the very first message that I was told to preach when I was in Bible school training for the ministry was a 10-minute radio broadcast. That was really strange. The reason is I had no idea when I did that for the last 10 years I'd spend as many hours preaching on the radio as I have. But nonetheless, it was designed so that we would have a blind audience. In other words, you couldn't see the people you were preaching to at 10 minutes so that the preacher wouldn't have to endure these long, drawn-out messages by his first-year students, okay? So we came up with this radio message. And you know what I did? I had no idea what this radio message that I was writing would sound like, so I went into the bathroom with a cassette recorder, and I recorded the message, and then I played it back for myself. And when I did, I was just aghast. I was gagging, you know, and my wife said, what is the matter with you? And I said, oh, this is horrible. I'm listening to myself on playback as I'm preparing this radio message for my class, and it's just terrible. It's just awful. I can't stand to listen to it. I don't see how anybody else could stand to listen to it. And so I went over it and over it and over it and over it and over it until the words were fitted in my lips. And finally, had worked it out, at least I could stand to listen to it. I didn't know if anybody else could. But, you know, all that work paid off. And when I went into the class to deliver the message, then I got a good score on it. And, of course, that taught me something that I've needed, like I said, for the last 10 years to be able to do radio broadcasts. So you really got to work on these things. All right. Now, there are also in this text some things that you have to believe, what you should believe to get the most out of your study. We've seen how to study from the text. There are many other things on how to study, but from this text, those are the five things to know. There are also some things to believe. And let me tell you what they are so that you'll be alerted to them, and then we'll start going through them because I don't want to run out of time before you hear these, okay? Here are the four things to believe from verses 19 to 21. First of all, believe that God reveals the book. Look at verse 19. That thy trust may be in the Lord, I have made known to thee this day, even to thee. You got to trust that God will make the words known to you. This day, even to thee. So the first thing to believe is that God reveals the book. When a man believes that God reveals the Bible and that it's not his scholarship that's coming up with these great points here, well then, God's going to give you something. Okay, the second thing to believe is that God wrote the book. That these are God's words you're dealing with here. Look what he said in verse 20. Have not I written to thee excellent things in counsels and knowledge? Who's the author? The Lord. Have not I written to thee excellent things in counsels and knowledge? You got to believe that God wrote the book. That these are his words. You know, when seminary professors teach seminary students who are then going to become pastors and associate pastors and teachers in schools, that you really don't have a reliable translation of the Bible, but you've got man's best effort, and that even the Greek and Hebrew manuscripts are just translations, that there are no originals, they don't have confidence that what they're dealing with are God's words, you see, and consequently, those words don't have the authority, and those words don't have the purity and the truth that God's words would. And when a man's already believing that there's problems with his Bible, he's going to have a real hard time convincing you that you need to be following every word that's in that thing. The third thing to believe is that God's words are certain. God's words are certain. Look in verse 21, that I might make thee to know the certainty of the words of truth. Those words are absolutely certain. You can count on them. They are reliable. They're not subject to private interpretation. They are sure words of prophecy. And then finally, that God gives you the answer of truth. That is, when somebody asks you a question, that God's the one that's going to give you the answer to give to them. He says again in verse 21, that I might make thee to know the certainty of the words of truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that send unto thee. Those four things right there. Now, let me just go back over them quickly, since you've got them now, as we conclude the message today, okay? If you believe these things, and you study the way that these verses show you to study, you're going to be a good teacher. You're going to be a good preacher. All right? You believe that God reveals the book. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 to 16, we find out that the Holy Spirit is the one that reveals the spiritual things of the Bible to you because the natural man can't get them. And if you try to deal with them in your own scholarship, you're going to come up short. In Luke chapter 24, the disciples had been through seminary with Jesus Christ, in a manner of speaking, for 3.5 years. If anybody knew anything about the words of God and the Word of God, they should. They'd been traveling with him. And yet when they saw him, they didn't recognize that he was the risen Savior. Jesus Christ revealed himself to them through the Scriptures and opened the Scriptures to their understanding. If anybody's going to get anything out of this Bible, it's not just going to be because you went to a Bible dictionary or a Bible encyclopedia or to a commentary or to the internet to get something out of that thing. It's because God showed you something in the book to give to the people that you're preaching to or teaching. The second thing is that God wrote the Bible. Psalm 68, verse 11 says, God gave the words. Great was the company of them that published it. In Psalm chapter 12, verses 6 and 7, we see that God promised to preserve his words. There's not a doubt in my mind as I open the authorized King James Bible and begin to preach that what I'm preaching is God's words, cover to cover, every single word. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, see, and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. If you've got some doubt about the book that you're teaching, you're going to have a hard time convincing anybody that they ought to listen to you. All right, and then the next thing is that God's words are certain. Peter told us in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 to 21, that if you had a choice between listening to God speak like he spoke to them on the Mount of Transfiguration or reading the words of God out of the Bible, that what you've got in writing is more sure than listening to God speak on that mountaintop. More sure word of prophecy. And they're absolutely right. Every doctrine of the Bible is exactly the same, and it's always right all the time and no matter where you are. The trouble is that men are wrong. There are absolutely no mistakes in this Bible. They're absolutely certain, and if two men come up with a different interpretation over the same text, one of those men is going to be wrong. The Bible is not right for both of them. One of the men is wrong. Or they may both be wrong, but they're not both going to be right. You don't just say, well, that's your interpretation. There's something wrong with that. You haven't studied enough to actually figure out what the basis is. People say, well, let's just agree to disagree about our doctrine. Then you're agreeing, one of you is agreeing to be wrong, you see, and y'all decided to just agree to get along. Well, I understand when you're trying to, you know, be reconciled to each other and things like that, but as far as the doctrine of the Bible is concerned, you still got to recognize somebody's not right. And then God gives you the answer of truth. In Matthew chapter 10, although this is just like what we're talking about, when a man was imprisoned, he was supposed to be able to rely upon God to speak, and then the Spirit would give him the words to speak. Here, you got to prepare more than that. And in John chapter 16 and John chapter 14, the Lord showed you that the Spirit of God was going to guide you and teach you, guide you in all the truth and teach you and bring to your remembrance all things that Jesus said to you. And so you got to recognize that when that answer finally comes, that answer is from the Lord if you've put forth this effort and believe these things. I pray, if you're a teacher or a preacher, that God has used this message to help you and to be a blessing to you.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.